Okay, this is the Sustainability Commission meeting on Tuesday, October 8th, 2019, at 7 p.m. I'll do the roll call. Julie Moeller.
Here.
Eric Simon. Shannon Roberts. Beth Chang.
Here.
Andrew Basney. Lisa Gillis.
Here.
Susan Charette.
Here.
Okay, we do not have a quorum.
Okay, well, we won't vote on anything. There's no public comment. We've already welcomed the student commissioner at the last meeting. And so we're going to jump. Yeah, that's okay. So we're late, but I think there is a lot of important information to still talk about. So I think, do we have anyone to take minutes? And Susan did them last time. And did you get my email regarding, so sorry about the procedure. So the procedure is usually that you just send them out to everybody, they'll make changes. And then if you don't hear anything within a week, then you send them on to John and he'll include them at the next meeting.
And Susan, did you have another format you could send them in? Because I'm on a PC and I couldn't open it up.
On Pages.
Yeah.
So what format do you
Well, just Word or
okay.
Something like that.
Or you could probably just cut and paste them and put them in an email.
Yeah, or you could even
well.
Cut and paste and put it in an email. That's fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
But you can wait until we have any comments. So.
Did anybody else have trouble?
I didn't.
I saw it come through, but.
Okay. So Beth, would you like to start?
I haven't really done anything other than go and help Lisa plant a garden, which was really fun. are we doing commissioner reports? Is that
yeah.
What you mean? Yeah. So was it 2 weeks ago? I don't know. So it was one of the block party gardens up on Thatcher. And that was the day there were like four block parties. So actually my son Ben came with me and we planted with the family. And it's at 550 Thatcher. And yeah, I think it looks good. Other than that, IU had asked me to start looking into River Forest energy ordinances and possibilities that we might have of addressing that, and I didn't get very far. I looked at the village code, and maybe John can point me in the right direction, because, you know, there's a lot of building codes and things, and I wasn't sure where
okay.
to start. But my next, I think, yeah, I was thinking maybe you could just help me hone in on which sections are relevant, and then I thought I would research, I guess, other municipalities, with the goal being to see are there any ordinances that would incentivize people, I guess, or require them to adopt more energy efficient practices.
Good, and we can talk too. We can meet and see what else we need to,
okay.
How we should approach that. All right, John, do you have anything to talk about?
Sustainability related, I can tell you we are wrapping up some of the green alleys. So those are going in. There's four of them going in. Two are now open. Two more are still being constructed. So that's progress
John,
there.
What would that mean, total?
Ooh, total green alleys?
Yeah,
so we did, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 initially up in the north. East section of the village, and we've done at least one every year since then, and that was in 2014. So we have 8, 9, 10. We have between 10 and 12 at this point off the top of my head. So yeah, that's been in our budget since 2014 to get at least one in. And then this last year, we were able to put four in. So that's the plan going forward.
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
There are a lot left to do, actually.
So how many alleys total, then, I guess, is the question.
When we first started, we wanted to just keep up with alley maintenance, so we just repaved a lot of them. There's over 20. I think there's like 25-ish alleys. And so we repaved some just to keep up with the maintenance. And then we wanted to say, okay, hold on, let's fix drainage problems and have it be a more green solution going forward. So now we're reconstructing and making them green alleys.
So the goal is to do all of them?
Eventually, yeah.
Okay.
It could take quite a while, but
yeah,
depending
but if
on
you get some
funding.
More, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Go ahead, Lisa, you can. Or Susan, you can go ahead.
I attended my first Planet Green meeting, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, thank you for your notes.
Yeah, and so I sent out the notes. I don't know how much detail you want me to go in since I documented it all, but you know, basically, It's Our Future was being launched that same day. Everybody knows what that is, the youth mm-hmm. arm, right? And they were just talking about some of the upcoming events for that. That's all. It's all in the notes I sent out. There was a solar update. I have to say, I didn't follow a lot of the conversation there just because, you know, they were zipping like legislation. And my basic gist was there really wasn't anything new. And then there was, you know, some discussion about community solar at the end and just how stalling it is and how long it takes to put together. So
yeah.
Their recommendation is kind of if you've got another way to go forward with solar, like just go ahead and do that in the meantime, because these are, you know, sort of big complicated deals to put together. That's what I got out of that. And then much of the discussion was on the December Leaders Forum. So Julie had asked me if there was any deadline from that. There was, and I'll bring that up at the next meeting. They have a new venue. I guess I obviously wasn't at other ones, but there was concern about just the pacing in the past, that the food was very delayed and people left and everything. So they're going to be on top of that. Again, I'm not exactly sure how this was done in the past, but they're thinking of, in addition to highlighting what's been done, having one issue that they focus on, and energy was discussed. Is that possible? And then Jan Arnold from the Oak Park District suggested adding a Q&A and just something that would get people
more
engaged. Yeah, more engaged instead of just like, you know, this is what we did. And then I gave a little update on the Pollinators for Parkways that Lisa provided. And that was about it. And there's a little more detail in the notes.
That's good. Part of the role there is, and I think you covered everything fine. So we all know that the energy just continues to be talked about. So what we're really looking for is just any actions that we might need to take and stuff. So I think that was appropriate, or any deadlines that are happening or any opportunities for us is what you can bring
back.
Yeah,
and then I've also just been, you know, just spending a lot of time with the report, reviewing it, because I know we'll have to be providing more information, just trying to see if there's anything that's not being captured. So one little idea I had was I teach at Willard, and they have water fountains that have the water bottle,
mm-hmm.
you know, water bottle fillers, but just like the one here, they have numbers on it. And there was, I think I jotted it down, but there was like a pretty impressive number of how many. So just there, they've saved 139,000 water bottles. And I just thought that's just an additional thing that we can include. I imagine there's ones at the other schools, too, that we could add on. I don't know. I have to find out what the time frame of when these were installed. But, you know, just other ways of capturing things that that we're doing that maybe haven't been captured in the past.
Thank you. Lisa?
Okay. Well, I did partake. I did basically work with Beth and actually Katie Brennan. Sorry. Thank you. I worked to plant two Parkway for Pollinator Gardens, one at 550 Thatcher with Beth and her son. It was fun, and the owner was totally excited about it. And then I did another one on the 1500 block of William with Katie Brennan. I'm happy to say that those were actually the 16th and 17th gardens. And then David Murphy, when he got back from his trip out west, planted the two at Trinity and one more this past weekend. So all 20 of our gardens have been installed.
Yay! And are the block parties over then? Or?
And officially, there are no more pollinator gardens available to be put in. And we did say that after October 2nd, we would not actually allow for any to be requested because it's really hard to get plants.
Yeah.
But yes, there was actually there's a block party that's scheduled for
the end of October, beginning of November. So for those kind of, you know, and so we'll have the sorted out stations and all that other kind of stuff. But for those, you know, kind of hardy souls that, you know, want to be around a campfire late at night, I mean, I think there is no, and you tell me, John, if there's any limitation on when people can have a block party. If they want to have one in the middle of a snowstorm, they can, can't they?
Yeah, there's no limitation. It's up to them if they want to have one.
So, but they just can't have a pollinator garden.
They can't have garden at that time, no.
Good.
So, what else? I think that's it for me. I mean, other than the thing we'll be talking about.
Yeah. So I have quite a few meetings that I have been to. I wanted to add to Lisa's thing about the Parkway for Pollinators. The Green America article with the mapping will be out November 7th. It's a link on their website right now, but they haven't actually
pushed it live.
So if you, we will send that link out to everybody. Have you, have we already sent, I think I sent it already to everybody.
Yeah, you sent it to us, but we should probably post it on Facebook, like for the village.
Yeah,
and
so.
And in the email too.
Yeah, so November, we should, I'll just mark that on the calendar to make sure we push that out. So a couple things. I met with Ellie separately to discuss her plans for the commission and how, you know, she can help us with It's Our Future and her projects and how they can fit into the overall goals that we'll be talking about. Let's see, I attended a meeting with Sue Quinn at the library. We are going to be doing a Scarce has this it's a large display on waste, and it what we're going to do, it will be on, they asked if our library would do it, so we coordinated that. And then I'll be talking at a coffee in the morning on November 4th about waste, and we'll have information on composting and things about our specific, you know, holiday lights and things like that, and what the new recycling rules, you know, mean and what's going on with waste in general. So I want to thank the library for partnering with us again. It'll be up the whole month of November. And they said that they would push it out through their Facebook and their different social media posts. So, and they're interested in even more things like that. They said if there are meetings that are coming up, that they are happy to post and put out information. They are trying to do more community partnerships, like each month, focus on a community partner. So she, they're always a great, you know, partner. So we should always take advantage of that. I spoke at Euclid Methodist Church on Sunday something, gave a presentation on climate change and microplastics, and then I attended the Caritas Veritas at Dominican University. That was another panel discussion. We did that last year, and this again was on sustainability. There was a student from the club there, and then I'm forgetting their names, but it was a small group actually, and I was a little surprised at the whole Caritas Veritas was only, there were only a couple sustainability topics, and I'd say about 10 to 15 students showed up, a little smaller than last year, but we were there to talk about what the Sustainability Commission is doing and how its students could get involved. And they invited us to the farm to table event that is happening in a couple weeks. Did you do that last year? Mm. Or did was it Mary Susan?
I didn't do that event. But when you're done, you're reminding me that I did talk to Kate O'Brien from Dominican Sustain DU group. So after you're done, I'll report on that.
Yeah, so she was at this meeting. So if anyone would like to represent, so the farm to campus, excuse me, is an opportunity for us to be there just to talk about opportunities for partnership, see what the students are doing. It's just an all campus event where students can learn what's going on campus, how they can take part in sustainability. And last year, Mary Susan Chen tabled an event and just answered questions, and she said it was a really nice event. So if any, I've cleared it on my calendar in case But if anyone wanted to attend and be there, I'd be happy to take it off my calendar.
When is it?
It is October 24th, I think. Let me check. Is that a Thursday? Yep. It's October 24th, and it's from 11 to 2. And I can send, you can email me if you're interested. Let's see. Oh, I talked to Mary Masala. The community garden is not doing a fall event. She's going to wait. It was hard to get something on the calendar. So she's just going to meet with everybody for plans for January or February. And I assume she's been communicating that with you. Okay, good. Good. The sign still isn't up. So that's probably something we need to next spring follow up on. I met.
Sign for the garden?
Yeah. And I met with Dave Franick from the Historic Commission, just again to try to see if there's any overlap. Right now, we don't see anything that we could, you know, kind of told him what we were working on, any goals, if we could help them while they're, you know, they don't really aren't coming up with any ordinances or anything. But if there's, you know, something that they're doing where we can help with information. I did share with him the Beyond the Bin document that we have, and because I thought, well, maybe he could incorporate some places where people could drop off items that we don't know about, you know, from their homes or like a salvage one or historic things. Mm. So he was going to take a look at that, and then I thought that could be another project for somebody on the commission to go through that document. It's probably time to update it and make sure all the resources are there.
Do you guys know about the reuse depot on Madison Street?
Yeah, and okay. It's part of that.
Similar sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's actually in that document. But if he, you know, I thought if he had any updates on that. So it was just a nice way to talk and, you know, see what what each commission's doing. My last thing is what I'll be talking more about it when we go over the matrix, but I attended the Mayor's Caucus conference today on, it's so complicated, the Climate Resiliency Plan for the region. So the Mayor's Caucus is working with the Global Covenant of Mayors, which is the Global Covenant of Mayors is the group that worked with us on the Chicago Climate Summit in December of 2017 and got mayors to sign on to the climate agreement then. Now the Global Covenant of Mayors, there's 5 cities that have signed on in Illinois. And that's a rigorous reporting system, and Evanston has done, and then they do a resiliency plan. Now, instead of just focusing on cities, there's 10,000 cities across the globe that have signed on. But now they're working on regions. And so in the United States, Chicago, Kansas, Washington, D.C., and
Kansas City
are the 4 regions. So they brought a great group of people together in the room today for a conference all day long to talk about the framework on getting a resiliency plan for the region. This is a year-long process, and they went through how they will be coming up with resiliency and mitigation and adaptation plans. And this fits really nicely into the matrix that we're putting together. And they're working with CMAP, and CMAP has actually done a greenhouse gas assessment for our region. Our region includes 240 cities and 8 million people, so it's a greater Chicago metropolitan area. And they have measured all the greenhouse gases, and they went through this. They went through all the conditions of it. And they have, CMAP has come up with this report onto 2050 on how we can reduce these. And there's just, so now the mayor's caucus is trying to take their greenest region compact and kind of put the two together with the region. And yeah, there's all these plans, and it's kind of intense, but it was a good meeting. And I think there's a place for River Forest in there. So I'll be just sharing information via email for you guys to read as we digest all the information. But I attended that meeting today. Gary Kunin was there, Mindy Agnew from Oak Park, a lot of EPA people, policy person from the shed, water reclamation was there. So it was a good group of people. And they have hired a consultant. They have from New York to work on this plan. So it's a good meeting. It was long, but it was good. So more information on that to come. So, and your timing is perfect. How did your meet go?
It went very well.
Yeah. Ellie has joined us and her hair is still wet. That is impressive. That's dedication. So, and I wanted to say welcome to our audience member. Did you have any public comment? Are you here for the meeting? Okay. Well, let us know if we can answer any questions or if you have any questions. So, okay. Thanks. We're just doing meeting review. Okay. So if you would like to go ahead.
Should I
use the? Yeah, it works now. How about that?
Oh. Okay. Well, I've been quite busy this past month with It's Our Future and the Climate March and a couple of individual things. To start off, at the beginning of, or at the end of September, there was a introductory meeting for It's Our Future on September 25th, and a lot of people showed up, which was great. The core team is about 6 kids, all from OPRF, and we don't really know exactly what we're going to be doing this year, but we have some ideas. We wrote a description of it, which I can send to you guys if you want it. Also, I went to the Climate March, which was great. There were, however, there were only about 100 kids from OPRF that went, and it was not very well organized. And a lot of the teachers, like, I had one teacher that gave me extra homework for going. Yeah. And so I think that next year there could be a lot of improvement on it. Being more publicized and having a larger group or less of a punishment.
And what's that teacher's name?
And lastly, my mom and I did some research on the school supply idea, and they seem to have improved their boxes from last year. But I wanted to dig a little bit deeper, so I emailed Laura Maycruck from oh my gosh, I'm blanking on.
It's okay.
Bus Cafe, thank you. Yes, and Green for Good. And we met with her and talked about some improvements that could be made in District 90. And there were 2 options, one of which was to have just better, more green and sustainable materials in school supply boxes and the things that people get at school, and another is to give more to teachers to put in their classrooms so that the kids have to buy less, because she said that they have to like buy a whole new set of staplers and like scissors and such, which don't need to be renewed every year. So if we could get more into the classrooms or just make the supplies greener, then that would be great. And that's it.
Nice work.
Thank you.
That's good. So then the next steps are just for the school supplies is maybe just to see what options the school would be open to, mm-hmm. or the PTO.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I will email some of my teachers to see who I can contact for that.
You were busy. Yeah. Nice work.
Thank you.
So
Going to briefly add about talking with Kate O'Brien, who's a Dominican student. You had sort of sent her my way. She was interested in connecting with Openlands, but she, what I got from her is that there's a student group called SustainDU. Now, are they the ones who are actually running that farm to campus event?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she was at the panel discussion.
So, all right. I guess I just, one thing that I got out of talking to her, and it's probably evident to you already, but just that the focus of that group, they have a special desire to get involved in like advocacy and policy and like political action. That's what she told me. So
what's
it's not,
the name of the group?
It's called SustainDU, and it's just, it's the Student Sustainability Club.
It is.
So I think, yeah, I was just trying to figure out whether it basically sounds like, Julie, she's already connected with you in terms of what our commission would do. Okay. Because I think I'm supposed to talk to her again in about a week about what she's interested in with Openlands. So,
okay.
Good. Yeah, I thought I connected her with you just because I thought she had mentioned a field trip or Dominican University students with open lands and stuff. I think she's trying to figure out her programming for the year. So, but she's active and she could be a good resource. So I do think there's some shifting going on at Dominican with faculty groups. And so I think that's why we haven't really heard a whole lot from them this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just how they're, formed, not,
Can I just ask a follow-up question? Has there ever been an effort to put together like a River Forest directory of all of the different participants who are doing different green initiatives at all of the schools involved, like the interfaith, just everything? So when somebody has a question, instead of flailing around, and even, like I hear, as a new person, I hear a lot of names in here, and I don't know who these people are and who they're associated with everything, but I just thought if we had something like that, and even potentially, I guess we'd have to get people's permission, but even potentially put it on our website, so if somebody has a green question, or somebody like Ellie who wants to do something at the school, she has the names and the contacts for the Green for Goods at all three schools, and so it's just easy to reach out.
We did start something because when new commissioners came on, we are like throwing out names. We have that stakeholders document it sent, and it's just called stakeholders. I believe I sent it to you when you or to any new commissioner, and it just lists the different groups. I can resend it to you. Green Community Connections, and like what FIJA, what CIJA, what's Global Covenant, what's Mayor's Caucus. So it could be time to update that. So,
I was thinking of something more, just sort of within River Forest, and not just like the name of the organization, but like who are the contact people, and then maybe there could be greater in even among them there could be greater. Oh, she has it down in her matrix. Perfect.
So, good idea.
Julie, I'm not sure what you're going to, I can see what you're going to do next on the agenda, but I'm sorry, remember, I need to leave around now because it's my
That's totally fine.
Birthday,
I
so
will connect with you offline. And actually, we're not doing number five because Andy is not here, so he gets bumped again. That'll be on the next agenda.
You mean the preemption thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let me try to stay for a few minutes because I want to hear about
the
matrix.
Well, then I will just quickly... introduce this.
Yes.
Okay.
It looks great.
The Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission 2020 Plan Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lisa, after the last meeting, you remember I was kind of like, we need to do the, I wasn't making it very clear, and Lisa took what I was trying to express and put it in this document, which is what I was, now I know what I was trying to say. Thank you, Lisa. Is that the goals and the programs that we have should be able to explain them to a resident and say why it's important to plant a native garden, why the bees are important. And if we can, and then I've talked to Shannon, who is going to come up with metrics along with this, and I'll talk about that separately, but so that we can say, you know, because it's overwhelming, as we all know, all this information, and if one person can understand why they're doing something, that can lead to more things that they adopt in their lifestyle. So it's easy just to say, well, don't carry that plastic bag, but why do we say that? And why do we develop these programs? And I think, and they also, all these things have a cost to the climate. So if we can assign a greenhouse gas to these items and say, by planting this native garden, you are, you know, mitigating, or by planting a tree, you're saving 2,300 gallons of water that tree sucks up. And that helps thus with flooding. And then by doing, you know, if you ride your bike, you know, instead of driving your car to the train station, you're doing X. And so we're really trying to create a data set so that people understand that their actions, it's not just making River Forest beautiful. It's not just that we're saying, oh, live green. It's that actions have implications, and that, so this is an easier way, I thought, to move us forward and to explain what we do. So instead of that like 3-page sheet that we have where we have goals and stuff, you know, Lisa has taken this and put it into matrix, and hopefully we can even make it shorter, or on one page or a page and a half, so that it could be two-sided, on the outreach, education, and the activation. And then we can say, you know, really our, you know, how it affects residents, how it affects institutions, business, places of worship, and the government. So when we have something that comes to us as something we should be doing, we really should be weighing its impact. So, I mean, we could do programs all day long, but, you know, we could be chasing our tail, and we could all be getting tired and burnt out and going to meetings all day long. But what's making the biggest impact? And we've already identified the areas. So let's continue the work we're doing, but let's measure it. And then I think this also can provide, you know, so the big goal is reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Okay. So these things funnel up, you know, they don't funnel up, they work up to that goal. So I was trying to say, let's have one goal and then we can measure what we're doing. Okay. So for instance, even just working with school supplies, that's a waste objective. It's working with education, and it's in the schools. So then Lisa, I didn't bring your example, or did I?
Yes,
oh, it is detached. Oh my gosh. Oh. I don't know if, do you want to talk about how the, then what I want us to do, and I will talk to you separate about this. So I don't really see our roles switch, shifting too much about what we're working on, but how we're reporting it and how we're writing this up. So in, I hope to have this done by the end of the year, and in January we'll present this to the commission, I mean to the village trustees, like we did last year. And, you know, and we'll have more concrete goals now that Planet Green's going away. You know, it won't be this 3% renewable energy goal. It'll it's so nebulous to people, right? So we really want to say, you know, with institutions, this is how we're trying to get to renewable energy. With, you know, places of worship, this is how we're going to, you know, if somebody comes to us and wants to do a program, this is how we're going to do it. So with that, I'm going to leave it to Lisa to then talk about how, you know, we'll form our goals individually based on the matrix.
Right. And basically these are just examples.
I want to just say before I unfortunately have to go that I think it's brilliant. And I wanted to say why I think it's brilliant is that those strategies, putting those sort of the verbs, as you said, for the reasons, it's a great evolution, I think, in the commission, because when we started, we had, you know, I would always tell everybody, well, we've got five areas: energy, waste, water. But the verbs make all the difference, and also dividing it up by the different entities and groups so people can see where they can have an impact. I have a really minor like formatting thing, which is you might find a way to put like a bold line or something to distinguish the five categories because it was hard to, you know, like in between replace fossil fuels and then when you hit expand green.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because at first it took me a while to fully appreciate the brilliance of the chart because I couldn't understand what was going on with the like the long rows, the unbroken rows to say that, oh, bike plan is everybody. That's like a really minor formatting thing. But I also love the color coding that helps us. That distinction between the maintain and activate, I think, is really helpful because we've struggled a lot with capacity questions. And I think once something moves into maintain, you know, hopefully that is something that either a more robust volunteer group could take on or some things, you know, move to village staff. So it really, really helps, I think, with that as well. So thank you. And I'm really sorry to miss out on the rest of the discussion.
That's okay. We can talk. And, as you know, some of the wording on this is going to have to change and stuff. So any other input you have, Beth, you should make sure to give that to me. Thank you for coming. Sorry. Okay.
Okay. So basically, I just kind of pulled together two examples using two projects, two simple ones. This document looks daunting, but I think it serves two purposes. It basically focuses on us in terms of, again, Pollinator for Parkway program, the objective. Because, again, if you think about it, you have kind of objectives that basically cascade down to strategies, which cascade down to tactics. And then basically, as you move down into programs, like a strategy becomes an objective. So in this case, the Parkway for Pollinator program, the objective is to sequester carbon and enhance support for ecosystems. The strategy is to increase the square footage of native plantings throughout the village. And then we get into the tactics of how we're doing that. I also had a status line because eventually we're going to, you know, like with each of these programs every year, we're going to have to assess, is it something we want to continue? And there's issues with regard to do we have funding, is it successful, et cetera. That leads to impact and then future action. What this does two things. One is I think it focuses us in terms of, okay, exactly why are we doing this? Secondly, quite frankly, it'll help when other people take over a project because on one page you have all the information about it. And it'll just be easier for us to kind of to make projects more mobile. Yes, it's a lot of work, but it also, I think, helps us, more effectively communicate what the program is, but then also better support the program and, kind of sometimes it does take a village. So I don't know if anybody has any questions on the Pollinator for Parkway program. I mean, the tactics are plant sun and shade gardens, encourage residents to participate by offering these gardens at no cost as an activity for children as part of the Green Block Party, offer gardens to schools through the village at no cost as an activity for green groups. Like, and this is something that we actually did this year with the Trinity High School Horticulture Club for the Green for Good at Lincoln School. We had to secure funding through the grants. We hired Deep Roots to do the work. We work with village staff to add, modify, and remove the request for the Pollinator for Parkway Garden. Right now it's on the Block Party request form, and employees at the Village of River Forest work with the person that owns this project to make that happen. Again, when it started, we had to create maintain, and we should probably look through the information material on the village website to make sure it's still relevant. And then obviously input the gardens onto the Green America Climate Victory Garden map, which I will do once I, for 2019, once I get them from David.
What is the Village of River Forest map?
There's supposedly on the website, there's a map of kind of our native plantings, and I gave the list to you, John, so
has
you can speak to
yet?
It.
That's currently up there?
Yes, yeah. There's a list of the Parkway for Pollinators. I don't know how up-to-date it is at this point.
Okay.
It was last updated, I think, either this spring or the middle of the summer. If we have an updated list, I can take it and just add on to it whenever.
Just the addresses.
Yes, the addresses. So it goes in, well, if I'm given a description of which parkway it's located in, I can pinpoint.
Yeah, it's a lat lot. It's probably, it's similar to, I think it's similar in nature
like
to
trees.
The green.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, right.
What makes sense now is I'll just add, because I thought I sent it to you, maybe I didn't, but I do have all the pollinator gardens from last year. I'll add to all the addresses for this year.
Right, and now that we're done, we can just
update
them all and be good for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
would that also include Park District natives, or are we just doing Parkway for pollinators on our map?
I just have the Parkway for pollinators and then our own areas where we know Public Works has put in natives. But
I have the full list. We can put that on there too. Because what I did is I made sure that whatever was on the native, I made an Excel spreadsheet of everything that was on that we input into the Green America site that we could make sure we have it on ours.
Oh, then you have one master list for everything.
Yeah, what I
think
would be
then
nice.
Then that's perfect. Then we can put it all on there.
And I still owe you the school's square footage.
Yes, you do.
Yes. And, I think it would be nice to do them both. And then I think we should contact the Park District. I have contacted them and told them about it, but it would be nice if they also included the information in there, because really our square footage jumped way up with what the Park District did. So I'd like to see them, include a link on their website as well. So it's useful information.
Yeah, they did by the tennis courts and everything.
Yeah,
okay.
That's all. So we measured
and
that
the
and then
yeah.
put it on that
along
right.
the the railroad. There's a spectacular
right.
one
right.
just south.
I think
of the
it's a good story too.
Yeah. But I also wonder, could we do? I mean, I'm sure there's some estimates out. Could we do like carbon absorptions for the, once we have the square footage, could we go the next, I don't know if this is something Shannon's looking into, but it'd be nice to say, this is, these plantings are not just beautiful, but they are sequestering X amount of carbon. And as it goes up, we have sort of like a tally that goes up for
exactly.
just something that quantifies it.
Exactly.
You know?
That's why, that's exactly
that's
what the measurement.
Okay, good.
And so that's a good segue into, I met with Shannon and a little bit of history on the whole metrics thing is the mayor's caucus. There's actually a protocol for measuring these, and it's called CDEP carbon. I don't know what the acronym stands for, but it includes a lot of information that we don't have or we wouldn't use, the industrial and the manufacturing and that type of thing. So knowing, so I said to Shannon, can we just measure just on our own the things that we know, what's quantifiable? So she wrote out is that we would develop a set of metrics that measures the village's sustainability performance and demonstrates impacts of key initiatives. So our metric approach will focus on demonstrating the following impacts: the carbon footprint, or the total greenhouse gases, stationary combustion sources, which means electrical use, natural gas burning in residential and commercial facilities. So it's easy for us to calculate residential.
That's in here, right?
But we need to find out also, then work with Dominican and Concordia and larger buildings, school district on their usage and get that. They need to report that. So we're trying to figure out if we just make this just residential and then have that be separate. That's something she's looking into. And then transportation, which we're going to work with Gary on, and CMAP. And then waste is really easy. We have all the numbers on that. And then water usage. So we're going to define the metrics, and then how we're collecting them and actually what's included. Because what's going to happen is, we're going to hear other data from the region, and we're going to try to compare it to our data, and we want to know what's in ours. But it's so then when we have a program and we say that we have diverted so many tons of compost, it equals X amount of greenhouse gases diverted, And when you plant a tree, X, and these are very general greenhouse gas. I mean, no one's, you know, this isn't saving the world on just planting one tree, but it shows people how these things sequester and how they can make impact. So Shannon says that waste and the residential electric is really easy, and she could have that done by the end of the year. And then her plan was to have everything calculated by May 1st. Okay. And so then we will put that into these, into our matrix. Okay. And I can't say that we'll add everything up and watch it go down. But it does help us form our goals and show us if we're going the right way. I mean, at this meeting today, they said that actually more people are driving, you know, and that it's going up in that area where it's going down in other areas. And, you know, so now if it's a regional plan, then how does that impact us? Do we focus on our bike plan, you know, and the driving part of it? So it's the pieces are starting to fall into place, and you're exactly right that we should also show the actual numbers on what something does. So does that answer your question?
It does. But I mean, I guess the other thing I've been thinking about, I don't know like where these ideas fit in. So since you measured biking, I'll throw it in here. I wonder if we could be more proactive in terms of incentives, for example, like looking at the vehicle fees, to adjust the vehicle fees to reflect that if you purchased a highly efficient car, you would pay a lower village fee. And I'm wondering if a very small change in price might not provide a large incentive, because people hate to pay fees. So I'm just wondering, has the thought process ever gone in that way in terms of, you know, how do we affect behavior in other ways?
Well, and I think our focus has always been education and in affecting behavior. I would love to, you know, like for plastic bags and, you know, using single-use products, that's another affecting behavior. And so, yes, we've looked at it. It requires a lot of partnerships because, as you know, seven people kind of trying to, you know, promote that. So I would say yes, that once we have the matrix done and the direction we're heading. I mean, we know what direction, and we've already been walking down that path. It's just we're paving the road, so to speak. It's not as bumpy. Mm-hmm. So I would say incentives are part of it. But
I would add on to that, once we have these programs defined, I mean, I think it'll give a better job for other people to provide input in terms of, have you thought about incentives here? Right now, I think everybody is working kind of in a silo and doing a great job, but there's really no opportunity it's time to bring it all together. And it's also time to maybe get like different perspectives in terms of evolving the programs and making them better. So, for example, while I don't think we'd ever, I've heard clearly from Kathy, we would never do a tax on anybody to kind of disincent somebody, we would certainly, like case in point with single-use plastic bags, we don't want to, we think there's enough taxes in this town, but we could certainly, if we can come
incentivize.
Up with incentivize would definitely be kind of a way to go from, you know, educate, to something, you know, like to activate a big
kind of like what you're
way
talking
to activate
maybe
people
a small
is
decrease.
To incent them. So totally there.
Mm-hmm. But it's like what I said at the last meeting, is that this also can inform other commissions on what we're doing, because we can't do this by ourselves. And I'll be honest, I'm getting a little tired of someone saying, well, the Sustainability Commission's working on that. That's no longer the mode that we can operate in. So everybody needs to be thinking of this. So I welcome any ideas like that. Okay, it's definitely on the right path. But my only thing would be that let's just make sure that they're, you know, behavior changing. I mean, I think it's a nice gesture, you know, makes people think.
You know, like my example is we're starting with a village, and I mean, we are a village commission. So it seems, you know, just like you get your house in order first, if this is something that the village is saying they promote, then the policies of, you know, and of course incentivizing other institutions once you go out, that's going to require greater sensitivity. But, you know, just sort of starting with the village and what they do. And, you know, another example, a friend came to me and said he had looked into a vertical wind turbine that you can attach to your house and check back in. And there's some, you know, significant fees associated with that and everything. Just, you know, what can we do to, we're saying we're encouraging this, but how do we encourage this in terms of making it more accessible, have greater knowledge about it, and make it less expensive?
Well, the village was a great partner with the Soul Smart in getting the bronze, and that paved the way for getting some obstacles out of the way, right, with ordinances. I mean, we can take it to the next level, but that would be a perfect example of trying to incentivize and make it easier for solar.
Okay.
So I don't know what the village thinks about going silver, but if you're up
going,
for that.
Going solar?
Going silver with the Soul Smart, but...
I don't know. We'll have to look into it some
more. If there's any interest, if you have any time for that. But.
Well, I think the bronze really made it simple for people looking to put solar on their homes to just get a simple process to let them know how to navigate the, you know, all the ordinances and codes that have to be met. So the silver just kind of takes that to the next level, but I think we need to see, gauge people's interest in how it has gone for anyone, you know, since we've gotten the designation, to really see if we need to go to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think...
And I haven't really gotten any feedback one way or the other.
All knocking down the door. But we do have, I mean, Eric got some information on solar in the community. I think he'll share at the next meeting that there's a few people that are starting to put it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just like to have any feedback on the wording, or if this makes sense to people. Lisa, you had a couple. I thought you had a great thought. If you want to share what you had told me, which I thought was good.
Well, at the end of the day, we really want this to be something that the public understands. So something that I always tell people is make it so your grandmother would understand it. So I think the language needs to be very simple. And if I look at the top in terms of to decrease emissions by 25%, like if there's just a way to,
that's going to go away,
take it more about just make it simpler.
Yeah,
because it's there, but that's our language, so we have to think about from the person, our neighbor that might not have, they certainly want to make the world a better place. They certainly want to do their fair share. I just think we need to think about how to explain it in kind of more universal terms.
Yeah, for sure.
And like sequester, I did make your sequester, like I made it an action verb, but I don't think I've ever used the word sequester in my entire life.
Oh, really? I use it all the time.
But again, it might be a good word, but that's just something that we can think about. And again, I'll just say that, to your point, we're never going to be done, but I think what we have to do is figure out what on here do we want to really focus on, what on here might we not want to focus on, to try to zero in on things. And then John, I will say that things like the Pollinator for Parkway program, I mean, Joan can really do this working with David. So let's talk about if there are stuff that's in maintenance mode, as long as there's a clear path and there's escalation, there might be some opportunity maybe lean on the, village staff to do some of the, at least the simpler stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's made clear, Joan's really good at running with something like this. Yeah.
She's fantastic.
She is great.
She maintains that really well, the whole Black Party program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she does a great job in making sure. And so now that we have one more year, I also want us to take advantage of the fact that we have a year to then think about the next Green Block Party and what would have impact based on this. So I think we're finally being able to get a little bit ahead of ourselves, knowing that next year's block parties are funded and that we have a great ally in Joan and that and David, that they know what they're doing.
Right.
So this is also an opportunity to highlight some things like the healthy lawn, healthy family. Maybe that needs to be tweaked, and the IPM type of information. So
yeah. And I do think, I mean, that might be tweaked, but I think that there's probably more we can do with the with Midwest Grows Green. I mean, it's a really great organization. There are a lot of local municipalities that, you know, kind of are leaning in a little bit more than we are. So maybe that's how it evolves, you know, and things like that. So, and again, the first step is, I think, to document it and then, you know, talk about them. Yeah. And, you know, take the input in terms of how do we incent or, yeah, it's time to end the Healthy Law and Healthy Family program because, like, you know, we're evolving it into, you know, maybe something that's not tied to the Green Block Party. Right. And it's just, you know, something that we
that's a good
advocate
point.
Online and through emails and, you know, River Forest resident communications.
So I kind of hope that we would all have a discussion about this tonight, but seeing that three commissioners are missing, that maybe four, is that I would ask you to look at this, maybe show it, you know,
to your mom.
Just see if they understand, knowing that we'll rewrite the top of this, what our kind of goal is to make it say that, you know, this is the Sustainability Commission's working plan, working document to decrease overall carbon emissions to meet with, you know, the Chicago Climate Charter or something, so that somebody could get more information if they wanted, but also just know that our overall goal is decreasing carbon emissions. You know, we don't need to tell them how much. I mean, if somebody's interested, they'll look it up, right? So, and then, you know, Shannon's time is limited, but she knows what to do with the document. And after she gets the total emissions, she'll start to break down what each program can sequester or what it means when you do it. So that's what I've been working on. So any other questions, or Lisa, anything you want to see from... I'm just trying to come up with an action that each commissioner, you know, a week before the next meeting should provide
ideally,
feedback, but in how...
This might be it's a lot of work. I mean, I think you said by the end of the year we should probably have it done, but I think that for those programs that are active, it would be good to have the one-pagers and try to keep it to one page. I know that might not be easy for a variety of reasons. If one of us, you know, wins the lottery and moves to Fiji, somebody else is going to have to take care, you know, take on their work. So that's the first thing. And secondly, it will allow for that cross-pollination from ideas of ideas. You know, it allows you to take a step back and have that conversation. So it would be actually good to actually maybe, you know, kind of go through some of these, you know, in the meeting and talk about them, although that might get into the total weeds.
Well, I think that might have to be an agenda item at the next meeting that I just call everyone and then they get these done by the next meeting. Because that's November, and then December we'll have to have it done. Would you agree with that? So
yes, I would.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've got to, you know, again, I you just have to take some time and just get them done. So I have to write the rest of mine, but I'll have mine done by next meeting.
So we can have a template.
So I will lead by example.
Okay. And so then it would be how something would work with waste is, you know, I can help you work through this, like, with an overall waste goal and then what your project is working on. Okay?
I can email some of my, I know I said this before, but I can email some of my teachers to get started so that I know who to contact.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know how far I can go with this yet.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to know.
But it's a good practice to, So I just didn't want to make you think it yours didn't work in here. It definitely does. All right. Well, I think I've beat that down enough. All right. What else? Sorry. I've got way too many papers here.
Actually, I have one question. Would we add the recycling extravaganza to this list?
No.
Okay.
No. Actually, you update at the next meeting. So I will have an update on that at the next meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just honestly, we're trying to replace the recycling extravaganza with an enhanced pickup program through Roystrom. And the reason is just that the recycling extravaganza, as we know, is not really as sustainable. Mm-hmm. Through the man hours, the amount of junk we're getting, and just the volunteers. So you
evolution.
Yes.
Program evolution.
Yeah. So I mean, if you want to put something like enhanced pickup options or services on there, you could
okay.
put something like that, or out of the bin.
Well, you and I have to talk about like who owns this now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm happy to do it, but I just don't want you to make changes and me making changes. So mm-hmm. someone has to have the master.
You're going to have the master right now.
Okay.
Okay. And then I will send you some notes. But
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I will give you some wording on that. So commissioner assignments and goal area. Well, I think what that's going to have to look like is a phone call. So that we'll just skip that today. So I just had some general announcements. You know, I talked about the waste exhibit at the River Forest Library. And just these are just some things I wanted to bring to your attention. You know, beyond the bin update, that could be something that we incorporate as a waste option or a waste goal in here. As far as education, is that somebody updates that? And then we figure out a way to distribute that and let people know, because that could be part of the education that we do when we roll out that there's a new program for waste options, because mm-hmm. we're going to have to let people know that there is not a recycling extravaganza mm-hmm. If there isn't one.
Well, that could be the program Beyond the Bin, and then started with the I'll see what I can do to kind of write that up for you.
What is Beyond the Bin?
Beyond the Bin is a document that we worked with Oak Park and us to do, and it lists pretty much any item and where you can take it. And it's just a resource, and it was just to try to educate people that, you know, you have clothing, you can take it here. You have record albums, you can take them here. You have books, corks, whatever. It, you know, kind of like your stakeholders thing is, it was all these resources of places you can.
Oh, I think uh-huh. I've seen that. I just didn't know.
Yeah. And that needs to be updated. Clean Energy Lobby Day. So Clean Energy Jobs Act. So there's a Clean Energy Lobby Day going to Springfield, if anyone's interested. That's on October 29th. October 17th is the Interfaith Green Network Breakfast, and that is going to be at Euclid Methodist Church. Eric will be representing the commission, but anybody is... Oh, good. Great. Because
representing St. Giles.
Great. It's a great breakfast. And
I also reached out. I had sent an email to everybody because I thought, you know, one, you know, looking back at this matrix, one way to involve some of the institutions, the churches and particular places of worship, would be to get them involved in that. So I reached out to a citizen who had, you know, a forest resident who had kind of come to me and said, what can I do? And I said, you know, are you associated with any? So she's going to be there gathering information for First Pres. She doesn't have like an, and then she also goes to, so this is not River Forest, but she also goes to Unity Church in Oak Park, and she spoke to her, I guess there's a new minister there, and he was very, very interested. So there'll be somebody going from there as well. But, you know, as the leadership changes in some of these places, there might be much greater interest, but I don't know how often they're reaching out. So I don't know if there's some scope for us to say, this is a really good way for places of worship to get involved.
That's good. Thank you for making that connection. That's something that we haven't been able to really reach into.
Yeah. And if we could, you know, get the, you know, somebody at St. Luke's and St. I mean, all of the Catholic Church, with the exception of St. Catherine's, which has its troubles, are all involved. So, you know, way to put pressure on
it. Yeah. River Forest faith groups haven't really been, except maybe the temple, haven't really.
And I think Grace Lutheran has been somewhat active.
Yeah. Roosevelt is doing its second annual pumpkin smash on November 2nd. Roy Strom will be donating the bin to collect pumpkins, and you're welcome to go and smash them on the ground and then compost them. Last year it was a big success, but the Green Group at Roosevelt will be doing that again. November 7th, we talked about the article, will be published in Green America. And then December 10th, the Planet Green Institutional Forum breakfast will take place, and anyone is welcome to attend that. You'll probably be receiving your invitation, you and Eric and Kathy. We don't know who's speaking, but they'll be figuring that out. I'm going to circle back up to working with the Green Schools on a food waste awareness. This was something that Oak Park is doing, and they're going to be showing a film. And I, you know, Beth had some interest in this, and I didn't know if she wanted to pursue it. It's coming up pretty within the month. I didn't know if anyone was interested in taking that on, but I just wanted to let you know that they are starting a program with food waste awareness. So it's a little bit different. They're trying to get their cafeterias, you know, to donate to the surplus project with Beyond Hunger and stuff, where we don't really have that opportunity. But I didn't know if there's any synergy that we could let our school groups know about the film that they're showing and try to help them promote it. So
are you saying River Forest doesn't have surplus? Or
no, well, we don't have cafeterias.
So they have the spirit lunches on Friday.
Oh, Fridays, yeah.
At all school. And I was going through after lunch, and I saw a tremendous quantity of food. So there might be some scope, you know, more limited scope, but just from that one day to see if they.
Yeah, I know they often donate it also to the, you know, fire department, and they literally just take it to people. But yeah, it's always worth it. Next meeting's November 15th. So. Are there any, I think that might be our fastest meeting. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Is this our fastest meeting? Maybe.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
I know. Well, I feel like, we went through that pretty quickly, but I would just encourage everybody to go through all the paperwork that we're throwing at you and read it and just communicate your thoughts to me. I may not get back right away, but I always get back and incorporate your ideas. So
I think I put the date wrong for the next meeting, because November 15th, yeah. I think I was looking at the wrong month, actually.
Oh, okay.
So,
I was gonna say.
Yeah, so it would be the 12th. Sorry about that.
Okay, November 12th?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
I think I was looking at the month of October when I put this on here.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it's the 12th.
Okay, good. Does anybody have any closing comments or things they'd like to say? I think I like a lot of your ideas. I think you should write those down and see how that where they can fit. Okay.
Well, another one which I mailed to Julie and John. I don't know if you had more of a chance to think about it. But the municipal arboretum is something that.
Right.
Andy was going to look into that.
Okay.
Under the tree map. So this is a designation given or accreditation given by Morton Arboretum, mm-hmm. program there. Both Oak Park and Riverside has received it. Seems like with the tree mapping and, you know, just with the number of species of trees we have and everything, that we'd be very close. So I don't know how onerous the. Did you get a chance to look at that, John?
I didn't. I sent it. I know Andy is looking into it.
And Andy said he would, because he worked with the Morton Arboretum on the tree tour.
But I sent it to my superintendent, who's the head arborist, and we were going to take a look at it at some point, but we haven't gotten a chance to yet. So
can we put it down here just so it doesn't...
I'll make sure that we...
is that okay?
What's the actual title? The
Municipal Arboretum. I can't remember what the program's called. It's
I can look it up.
Yeah, I got it.
It looks like Airbnb. It's something
And we'll put the Go Green again on here for the next meeting. I think Andy will be, he will have a big agenda at the next meeting. And at the next meeting, I hope to have all the language for this good, and then go through the one pagers. So you can go.
Just on that same tree note, you know, we were talking about calculations of carbon absorption or sequestering.
Another way of getting people to appreciate all of the trees that we have in the village would be to actually do a calculation on, you know, what is the amount of carbon these trees are absorbing every mm-hmm. year, because my neighbor is forever asking me to cut down all of my trees, and just informed me yesterday she's cutting back. I have these beautiful 100-year-old oak trees, and she wants to cut the limbs at her property line on them, mm-hmm. which could very well kill the trees. And as far as I can tell, there's nothing in the River Forest Code that would prevent her from doing so.
No, so. If it's at the property line.
Yeah.
Right.
So even though it's absolutely mid-limb and will be the weirdest looking thing you've ever seen, and providing shade and, you know, everything else.
Right. It's a good story to tell.
Right. I mean, we have the species, we have the approximate size of the trees. So, right. And so if there's a...
Is that in a database that's, you know, I just don't know. I mean, I know that you have it on a map, but is it like in a spreadsheet too that you could, it is. Okay,
yeah, we have it internally.
So you can sort of sort it and put trees together and do, of course it would be an estimate, but, you know.
Yeah,
that would be measurable. That would be part of the measurement of the village tree map, annual tree, like all this section.
Coming up with an actual carbon number for that.
Yes. That would be part of the quantified track and public report.
Yeah. And then again, then we can incorporate that into education that, you know, this isn't just a pretty tree. This is, you know, and as you said, one tree is not going to solve the problem, but we've got a lot of, we've got a lot of trees here.
Right. It would be just the village's trees, but at least people would know it's the Parkway trees. Yeah.
And then maybe we could provide a way for people to, you know, if they wanted to calculate the trees on their yard, just give them some tips on how to do that. And then maybe we could even have a place where they could add it in themselves, just like we have on, you know, just like the maps do, and say, you know, we've got this estimate for the village, but we would love to have you add to yours. I'd be the first one to sign up. I'd do that. And, you know, just sort of build that up and, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you, everyone, for your time. And thank you for visiting. Is this for a class, I take it?
Do you have any questions for us?
Okay. She's like, I don't even know what you guys.
Well, you can come back next month. We'll be here.
Okay. So, can we close?